From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again to Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is the Reverend Armin Tomassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Pastor Tomassian is bringing a series of studies in Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Before today's message, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection, Morning by Morning.
This morning's meditation is found in 1 Thessalonians Chapter 1 and verse 4. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Many persons want to know their election before they look to Christ, but they cannot learn it thus. It is only to be discovered by looking unto Jesus. If you desire to ascertain your own election, after the following manner shall you assure your heart before God. Do you feel yourself to be a lost, guilty sinner? Go straightway to the cross of Christ and tell Jesus so, and tell him that you have read in the Bible, Him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Tell him that he has said, This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Look to Jesus and believe on him, and you shall make proof of your election directly, for so surely as you believe, you are elect. If you will give yourself wholly up to Christ and trust Him, then you are one of God's chosen ones. But if you stop and say, I want to know first whether I am elect, you ask what you know not. Go to Jesus, be you never so guilty, just as you are. Leave all curious inquiry about election alone. Go straight to Christ and hide in His wounds, and you shall know your election. The assurance of the Holy Spirit shall be given to you, so that you shall be able to say, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him. Christ was at the everlasting council. He can tell you whether you were chosen or not, but you cannot find it out in any other way. Go and put your trust in him, and his answer will be, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. There will be no doubt about His having chosen you when you have chosen Him. Sons, we are through God's election, who in Jesus Christ believe.
To receive mercy.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubts, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. Continuing this series in 1 Thessalonians, Pastor Tamassian brings the final portion of a message entitled, A Gospel Church is a Church Making Progress. In chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, the Apostle Paul has set forth three things which mark a church, as well as an individual believer, as progressing in the faith. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. The secret of effective praying lies in constantly giving thanks to God. As Pastor Tamassian continues, he cautions believers against suppressing the Holy Spirit by ignoring what the Spirit is teaching through the Scriptures. We need to apply the Word to the needs of the hour, testing everything by what the Bible teaches. The evidence of this kind of spiritual progress will result in growth in the believer's sanctification, as well as in God being glorified. Now here is Pastor Tamassian to conclude this message. A gospel church is a church making progress.
Here's a church that's feeling the effects of a fallen world, struggling with it. Anxieties come into their mind and heart. What do they need? They need peace. And Paul reminds them again, the very God of peace. The source of peace is not in the world. It's my peace, Jesus says, I give unto you. He says, I'm giving peace to you. The God of peace, sanctify you wholly. Sanctify, set you apart, purge you, cleanse you, the whole part of you, all of you. Which is emphasized then when he says, I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This text often is used to get into the whole discussion of the nature of humanity. Bipartite, tripartite, not going to deal with that this morning. The apostle is saying here, the progress, what we understand as the doctrine of sanctification, is something he brings as a prayer before God, as worship before the Lord, and his desire for the people of God, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. This is the longing of his heart. He had been trying to help in this, hadn't he? I mean, from the start of chapter 4 through to the end of the letter, really, there's constant driving home exhortations, beginning of chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you. And he continues then to apply various aspects of things that he's trying to drive home to help them live. And he sees himself as an instrument in their sanctification. But this is the great desire the Lord has for them, that they would be making progress, being sanctified. As he said in chapter 4, verse 3, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. This is the will of God. That's put in the positive than the negative, rather. Dealing with fornication, abstaining from fornication, staying away from these things. In the positive, chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, these are the positive things to do to make progress. Rejoicing, praying, giving thanks. Not the things you should avoid, the things you should give yourself to. Now the question we come to before we close is, who is involved and who is responsible for me to make progress? Is it the Lord or is it me? Paul is praying to God, but he's also saying it to the church. Does he expect God to sanctify them, to help them make progress? Or does he expect them to do it? Which is it? If you read through the Old Testament, there are times when the Lord said to his people Israel, such as Leviticus 11:44, ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves and ye shall be holy. Ye shall sanctify yourselves. Here's what you're to do. Do it. But at other times we read, such as Exodus 31, verse 13, I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. A wonderful text. So which is it? Does Paul expect that God will help them? Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why he's praying. That's why he's not praying to God for God to do something that's not God's responsibility. He's praying to God because he believes that they need divine help. And he brings the matter before God because he is the Lord that doth sanctify you. He does this work. He will make it come to pass. He will, in other words, be sure to do what you need within your life. Is that not what Paul says in Philippians 2, verse 13? It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God's working in you. Paul lifts up there for his prayer to God. I want this church to make progress. Oh, that the God of peace would sanctify you wholly. I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. His mind goes to that ultimate occasion when the sanctifying progress and experience ends and it makes way for glorification. Every believer living should always anticipate the possibility that they will see Christ return. And so that's where he draws their minds to. That should you be living when Christ comes, you're preserved blameless. That your life is above reproach. That there's nothing obvious that contradicts Christian testimony. Preserved blameless. For such a task, he comes before God. Do you pray about your sanctification? Do you? You are when you pray the Lord's Prayer. Deliver us from evil. That's what you're praying. Deliver us from evil, Lord. Keep us from evil. Preserve us. Cause us to make progress. Help us to be kept pure. Sanctify us wholly. At the same time, there's no point in praying, deliver us from evil, and then getting up from prayer and walking right into it. Putting yourself in a position that you know that you're rebelling against, you're contradicting the very thing you're praying for, wouldn't seem to make much sense at all. Would the believer do that? No. And that's why there is a form of synergy that is going on. And I want to be careful there, because everything goes back to the Lord. All glory goes back to Him. We are nothing but what He makes us to be. Paul makes that plain. It's all by the grace of God that we accomplish and do whatever He enables us to do for the glory of God. But there is this pulling together that such is the renewal of your will. Where there's a genuine transformation, there will be a willingness, yea, a desire to obey God. Otherwise, all the exhortations given from chapter 4 onwards are pointless. Their significance is in the understanding that the redeemed of God have been given new wills whereby they are on a path of transformation and renovation by the Spirit of God. This progress is not something that we can be without. When you were born of the Spirit, when the Holy Ghost came and put life in you, sanctification began immediately, expressed in two exercises: faith and repentance. That's the beginning of sanctification. It is a sanctified heart that looks to Christ and rests there. And it's a sanctified heart that understands its own sin and turns from that. The beginnings of life, when we look and analyze what God does in the life of a sinner, it is from the moment of the new birth they express sanctification. But it continues on. Sanctify you wholly. Paul, why is it important? Why? Because this is the whole end. Read Ephesians 1. Chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world that ye should be holy. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. The whole purpose of your election in Christ is to make you holy. So what is the will of God for your life, young people? I've pointed this out before. Let me drive it home. What is the will of God for your life? Pastor, I want to know what God's will is for my life. Here it is. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's positive. Negatively, we've looked at it. Chapter 4, verse 3. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. You should abstain from fornication. There are certain things you shouldn't do. Not in the lust of concupiscence, verse 5, and defrauding your brother, verse 6. Those are the negative. There are certain things you shouldn't do. And there are certain things you ought to do. And this is the will of God. Your sanctification. Are you making progress, believer? Are you? Has 2019 been a year of progress? I know it's hard. I look at my own heart. Have you made progress? Sometimes it's hard. It's hard to evaluate, especially if you've been on the road long enough to really evaluate, am I still making progress? But this is the heart of the apostle. This is the heart of Christ. Christian, you've been on the road decades. Keep going forward. But I struggle. I'm not as strong as I used to be. I can't do the things. Look, your sanctification is not so tied to active service and ministry as you perhaps think. Your likeness to Christ can be expressed under the tremendous trial and suffering where there's no apparent ministry, but there's a holiness being emanated from your life, a likeness to Christ under the crushing weight of trials. This is the will of God. Yes. The chief end is not service in the way that we first think of it. The chief end is sanctification. It is likeness to Jesus Christ. And whether you are in the first throes of youth with all your energy and vitality, or whether you're crippled and unable to do anything in beds of sickness, this is the will of God. This is the path for progress. These are the exercises, beloved. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. To help you walk in the Spirit, don't despise the teaching you receive. Test it. Hold fast to what's good. Abstain from what's not. And as you advance, God will sanctify you and preserve you blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you. You see it? Faithful is he. God's not going to fail in his involvement in this work. So we rest there. Lord, you're going to do this. You turn your eyes to him. Make it come to pass. Make it a reality in my life. May the Lord grant it. Let's bow together in prayer. Our God, help us. We need help. I cry, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to be merciful to us amidst all the trials of life. As much as this time of the year may be a season of merriment, it can be a great season of trial. And we think of so many reasons why hearts would be cast down at the present time. And yet thy word has come, a fitting word. We pray that thou wilt give much grace in the receiving of it. And whatever is ahead for us in the year to come, if it pleases thee to bring us into that year, we pray that whatever is accomplished, that we would be more and more sanctified and made like unto Christ. Hear our prayers. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.